Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We are in the studio and we have Adriana, Miss Tara, myself, Sandy, and we have Hosanna. Say hi, Hosanna.
Hello.
She's so cute. We are in Philippians 3, 1 through 11, if you've been following along with us, and we are going to attempt to finish 1 through 11.
We're hoping.
And, you know, we're just talking about the joy of believing.
You know, last time I don't know how we did this, but we did 4 weeks on three verses. We kind of started on verse 4, and we didn't get very far. And so we're just going to continue and stay where we're at. So we're going to reread again the verses 1 through 11 so that in chapter 3 so that we can set where we're at. What we have to remember is that in Acts 16, Paul had gone into Philippi and had the privilege of getting to know the people and leading people to the Lord. And he is writing to the people of Philippi really just to love on them and to encourage them. He's writing from prison to challenge them to take trials and hardships and choose joy. And it's kind of interesting since he's the one that's in prison and he's challenging people that are outside of prison to choose joy. So that's kind of where we're at. So let's read in the Bible. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do it to safeguard your faith. Watch out for those dogs, those people who do evil, those mutilators who say you must be circumcised to be saved. For we who worship by the Spirit of God are the ones who are truly circumcised. We rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us, and we put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, and I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith, and I want to know Christ and experience that mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him and sharing in his death so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. May God honor the reading of his word. Okay, so here we have Paul challenging out the people of Philippi in the value of knowing Christ. And we're going to focus in and start with verse 3 and 4 and hone in on those where he is talking about we rely on what Christ has done for us and we put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort if anyone could. So just was thinking through this and just wanted to find out what you guys had to say about what, if you could define the word confidence, what would you say is a good description for that word?
I think probably just what he relies on and what he looks to as a reason for, I don't know.
Okay. When you're confident for something, how would y'all define it?
I think you're prepared and you're willing to engage in something like instantly, you're not hesitating.
Yeah, the feeling that you can do it.
Okay. All right, those are good definitions. I actually looked it up. I wanted to see what, like, just the regular dictionary. And one of the definitions, it was a feeling of self-assurance or appreciation that cries out one's own abilities or qualities. And so just that average dictionary, that's the definition, is that assurance that what I have in me is good. So I think that's kind of ironic because when we look at this passage and we're examining what Paul is saying, is he's actually telling us not to have that kind of confidence in our abilities
ourselves.
And our qualities that we have within us. So confidence based on what Paul's asking us to do is, it actually, the Greek word would mean trust. And it's often used for the word with faith, but in this case, it's not actually the word faith, it's trust. But it does mean to have faith in such a way that the trust is secure.
Right.
And it's, we have to, there's like a caution of we've got to be careful what we put our confidence in. And so I want us to think on this because he says if anyone could have confidence, I'm the one that should have it in the flesh. Mm. And he lists out a whole list of things in verses 3 through, I think, 6, saying different aspects of things that he had the right to be confident in the flesh. Let's just list them out. Just look at some of them and come up with the ones that you see.
He was circumcised the eighth day, as the law said.
Okay.
He's a Pharisee, so he's like the top of everyone in Jew.
Okay.
Hebrew of Hebrews.
Okay. I have down that he's also of the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin.
Yep.
What are some of the descriptive words given for him as far as his behavior?
He's zealous.
Uh-huh. How did he treat the church?
He persecuted.
Well. Not well. He persecuted. He killed them. And how did he act with the law?
He thought he was righteous with the law.
Mm-hmm.
And also blameless.
Right. Faultless, blameless. Okay. So I'm just going to list them out now in order after we've called them out, because we did them, but we didn't do them in order. So let's just hear how he did it in order. He said, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee, zealous, persecuting the church, righteousness based on the law, and faultless. And so I'm reading over these, and I don't recall which commentator said this, and the commentator said, you have to recognize not one of these are actually a sin. The first four, circumcised, people of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, all of those are things that he was born into and had no ability to change.
Right.
It was just how God chose to put him on this earth. Now, the Pharisee could fall into the category of birth as well, but most likely it was that he was just chosen amongst the aristocracy. So he would have to be a part of the aristocracy of society in order to be chosen to be a Pharisee. But the crazy thing is the Pharisees were actually common people. These weren't the scholars. They become as they got into it, but they were like chosen out within the community. And so it was both something that you could be born into and move up through, but you had to like do the production of the work in order for it to be. So it was a combination of both. The last four, zealous and persecuting the church, righteousness and faultless, those were actual behaviors that he had within the communities that he listed above. And so I was like, okay, let's just think on this. Things that he had no control over, yet there's the part that he has his choices. And I'm like, okay, what does this look like in my life? And you guys think on your lives, and we can share some of these. Okay, circumcised on the eighth day. I left the hospital on the third day. Back then, when I was born, you didn't get birthed and come out the same day or the next day. They made the mom stay. And so I came home on the third day. Okay, I'm just not religious, but I'm just going to use that as an example because my parents weren't religious. And then for the people of Israel, well, I was of Ohio. I was born in Xenia, Ohio, of the Branham family. And so that would be my tribe, the tribe of Branham. And Hebrew of Hebrews would be my like nationality. And so I was Scottish, Irish, and German, and a little bit of Cherokee Indian. And so I'm kind of like a mesh of a whole bunch of different things. So calling those out. And then Pharisee of the aristocracy, I would probably lower class. Lower middle class, maybe, if you eked it, but probably more lower class, would be my family's rank as far as society. And so those are the things I had no control over. It's just that's how God appointed me. But as I grew, so saying that I was zealous, I became a passionate person and the things that I was passionate about. So that would be that. And the choices that I made, I became a seminarian. So I chose to go as a commoner to seminary, kind of like he was a commoner, went in as a to the be a Pharisee to study, and then trying to obey the word of God and doing that with righteousness. So you can see how that plays in his behavior and what we might look like today. So he's saying, I could put all kinds of confidence because I was born in the right places and I did the right things, yet.
But.
Yet, right, exactly. Yeah. But.
But.
So I asked this question, what does it mean to put confidence in the flesh?
Well, you put it in the flesh, you're more legalistic.
Mm.
You know, you think you have to follow the law, you have to follow this. But if you put your confidence in Christ, you know, he is the one that makes everything possible for us to do through him.
Mm.
And I kind of stated, when I said the confidence thing, I'm thinking, I should have said through Christ, I'm confident, you know.
Mm.
It wasn't myself trying to be, because I'm not.
So what are some ways that we have put confidence in our flesh? Me, you? Think of things that you do that you have put confidence in your flesh.
I'm sure there's plenty.
I could easily put my confidence in that I have degrees. Yeah. And so I have to be careful to not put my trust in an education.
Well, I think a lot of people put their trust in their wealth.
Okay.
You know that that's going to be a safeguard for them.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, for me, I've often put my trust in the fact that, like, I don't know, just in terms of saying I tend to be stubborn, and I know that I can put my confidence in my stubbornness, in essence, that if I just decide, oh, hey, I'm going to get this and this and this done, then, like, putting my confidence in my own power and my own stubbornness and ability to do things even when I can't necessarily do them on my own, you know?
Mm. But in our minds, we think we can do that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. Has anybody in here ever put confidence in then their family?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, at times.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you know, mom and dad will take care of it, my siblings or whatever. What about confidence in our friends and those around us? We can, like, put them as more important. And so mm-hmm. I was just thinking through all the different ways that I can put confidence in my flesh, and really wanted to hone in on the fact that this is not sin, that sins that he's listing, but what he does with these can lead to sin. And that's the reason why we're not allowed to put our confidence in our flesh.
Right.
The word flesh, and this was interesting, you guys, the actual definition is all that is outside of our spiritual oneness in Jesus. Everything that's outside of that which shows us rightly aligned to Jesus. And so right now in my life, the best way I can describe it is what I'm processing through since I hit the tree and I've injured my feet. And my feet, as they start to hurt, I find that I get very irritable. And it's hard when you have pain that's just constantly bothering you. And there's just, I don't know, for me, there's something about my feet irritating me. It irritates my whole body. And I find that I might snap with my tone more than I would if I did not have that irritation. And I don't like that in me.
Yeah.
I don't like that in me because what happens is I discover is that I get outside of the Jesus me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say the Jesus me, is that is that which is in me that is in Christ in such a way that I am talking, tone, acting, walking, speaking. Everything is my Jesus me living out life versus the flesh me. And I discovered that when I hurt, the flesh me comes out a lot easier than my Jesus me.
When you're tired.
Hungry.
There's all those.
A lot of different factors. And so one of the things I just have been saying a lot over the last few weeks is I just like my Jesus me. I like my Jesus me. I don't like my me. I want my Jesus me. And so as I'm getting irritated or whatever physically, I have been repeating to myself, soul talking to myself, I like my Jesus me. Because outside of my Jesus me, that's my flesh.
Right.
And our truest self, because Jesus is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Because Jesus is the truth, anything that I do outside of Jesus is no longer the true me.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I think, a huge revelation that we need to grasp onto. That so that if I walk out of irritability or a path of sin or whatever, I'm actually walking out of the true me.
Mm-hmm.
and I need to pull myself and get back. And so that's why Paul's challenging this, like, do not have confidence in your flesh, because that's not the true you. The true you is the Jesus in you, and trying to get them back into that. And so the 1 Corinthians 6:17, Hosanna, why don't you go look it up, and we'll have you read it to us. It does a pretty good example of showing us how this is manifested in the Word of God. Okay, go ahead. It's 1 Corinthians 6:17.
It says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Unite, in some translations, is the word joined. And when you look it up as far as definition, it actually means to be cemented, mm-hmm. literally. So thinking of the foundation of Christ, the foundation that he builds for us, to be cemented in Christ in such a way that as we are joined to him, cemented in him, his spirit becomes one in us, and that's where our true self comes out. And that's where we want our lives to be. That's where we want our confidence to be, is in him. Because flesh is not just the bad, the sinful, and the immoral. The flesh is anything that's outside of Jesus. And there are a lot of things that may not be in Jesus that are not sinful or immoral. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's anything that takes us outside of being in him. And it's just a powerful thought. Does anybody else struggle with that? Am I the only one?
No, I struggle with that a lot.
You do too? I'm looking to see how much
you're all right.
Okay. So processing that and making sure that we have it. And so we're wanting to look, and we're probably actually going to need to do this more the next radio, because this is really in depth, but we're going to go into the difference between the flesh and the spirit, and really thinking through what that might look like for us. Because if he's desiring for them to not put effort, confidence into human effort, we have to then know what's the difference. How do I know when it is the spirit? How do I know when it is in the flesh? When am I walking in the spirit? And how can I make sure that my flesh is in alignment with that which is of God? And he actually gives us the answer in the passage and tells us what it looks like. And so we're going to examine that and see how we can lay that solid foundation of having the confidence in the Spirit of God at work in us and not in the flesh, the things of this earth. Because Paul says, I have it, yet I call it all rubbish. We're going to see all of these things he's listed out. They're nothing in relationship to his relationship in Christ. We're so glad that you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts, and we just thank you for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us at tararye.com, cultivatinghearts.org, or at opendoormission.org.